Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text 23. Shri Shukuvacha Atainam Atmajam Viksha Mahapurusha Lakshanam Devaki Tamupadavat Kamsad Bita Suvishmita Shri Shukuvacha Atainam Atmajam Viksha Mahapurusha Lakshanam Devaki Tam Upadavat Kamsad Bita Suvishmita. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Purport. The word suvismita meaning astonished, is significant in this verse. Devaki and her husband, Vasudeva, were assured that their child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and could not be killed by Kamsa. But because of affection, they thought of Kamsa's previous atrocities. They were simultaneously afraid that Krishna would be killed. This is why the word suvishmita has been used. Similarly, we are also astonished upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the asuras or will continue to advance without fear. Text 24. Shri Devaki Vacha Rupam yatat prahur avyaktam adyam brahma jyotir nigunam nirvikaram satamatram nirvishesham nirvishesham niriham satam sakshad vishnur adyatma deepa. Shri Devaki said, my dear Lord, there are different Vedas, some of which describe you as unperceivable through words and mind. Yet you are the origin of the entire cosmic manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation, and you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements, and by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes. Lord Vishnu, the light of all transcendental knowledge. Purport. Vishnu is the origin of everything, and there is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna, because both of them are Vishnu Tattva. From the Rig Veda, we understand Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. The original substance is the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who is also Paramatma and the effulgent Brahman. The living entities are also part and parcel of Vishnu, who has various energies. Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Vishnu or Krishna is therefore everything. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matak Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Krishna, therefore, is the original cause of everything, sarva karana karanam. When Vishnu expands in his all-pervading aspect, we should understand him to be the nirakara nivesha nirvishesha brahma jyoti. Although everything emanates from Krishna, he is ultimately a person, aham adir hi devanam. He is the origin of Rama, Vishnu, and Maheshwar, and from them many other demigods are manifested. Krishna therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 14.27, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Brahman rests upon me. The Lord also says, Yepyanya devata bhakta, yajante sharyan vitaha, tepi mame vakunteya, yajantya vidipurvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. Bhagavad Gita 9:23. There are many persons who worship different demigods, considering them to be separate gods, which in fact they are not. The fact is that every demigod and every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai vangso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. The demigods are also in the category of living entities. They are not separate gods, but men whose knowledge is immature and contaminated by the modes of material nature worship various demigods according to their intelligence. Therefore, they are rebuked in Bhagavad Gita, kamais taista ridigyana prapadyante devata, because they are unintelligent and not very advanced and have not properly considered the truth. They take to the worship of various demigods or speculate according to various philosophies, such as the Mayavada philosophy. Krishna, Vishnu, is the actual origin of everything. As stated in the Vedas, yasya, bhasha, sarvam, idam, vibhati. The absolute truth is described later in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10:28-15, as satyam, jnanam, anantam, yad brahma jyoti, sanatanam. The brahma jyoti is sanatana, eternal, yet is dependent on Krishna, brahmano hi pratishtaham. The Brahma Samhita states that the Lord is all-pervading, andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He is within this universe and he is within the atom as Paramatma. Yasya prabhava, yasya prabha pravito jagaranda koti, koti shashesha vasudadi vibhuti binam. Brahman is also not independent of him. Therefore, whatever a philosopher may describe as ultimately Krishna or Vishnu, sarvam kalvidam brahma, param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram paramam bhavan. According to different phases of understanding, Lord Vishnu is differently described, but in fact he is the origin of everything. Because Devaki was an unalloyed devotee, she could understand that the same Lord Vishnu had appeared as her son. Therefore, after the prayers of Vasudeva, Devaki offered her prayers. She was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal form, like Narayan and Lord Ram, Shesha, Varaha, Narishinha, Vamana, Valadeva, and millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literature as original. You are original because all your forms as incarnations are outside of this material creation. Your form is existing before this cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. We may conclude, therefore, that Lord Vishnu is everything, although he also is different from everything." This is the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Vudai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sitarne. In this verse, it says that Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That this is the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ete changsa kula punsam, Krishnas tu Bhagavan swayam. Indrari vyakulam lokam, ridhyanti yuge yuge. That Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete changsa kula punsam. And that everything else is a expansion from Krishna. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Vudai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sitarne. In this verse, it says that Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That this is the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ete changsa kula punsam, Krishna's tu Bhagavan swayam. Indrari vyakulam lokam, ribhyanti yuge yuge. That Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete changsa kula punsam. And that everything else is a expansion from Krishna. And that Krishna, he comes whenever the demigods are in trouble and rectifies the situation. And the evidence cited here is the Vedic literature to prove that Krishna is God. This is called Shabda Praman, proof by hearing from authority. Generally, we take proof as that which we can perceive with our senses, or that which is we try to prove logically and reasonably. But here it says proof by authority. Generally, people take proof by authority. They have to, because they have no other means. For instance, to find out who one's father is, one has to accept the authority of the mother. There's no other way of finding out who your father is. You can't investigate. You have to accept the authority of the mother. Of course, nowadays, the mother may be a cheater. Therefore, people are doubtful. Perhaps my mother's lying. In other words, people are reluctant to accept authority in Kali Yuga because they don't trust anyone as an authority. But still, there's no other way of finding out who the father is. If your mother is a cheater, then you're unfortunate. But there's no other way you can find out. But the Vedic literature was written and practiced in a culture where people accepted authority. People now accept authority, they just don't admit that they're accepting authority. For instance, most sane people, when they come to a traffic light and it's red, they stop. Although they claim that they're independent, they're free to do whatever they want, as soon as the traffic light turns red, they stop. Therefore, they accept the authority of the traffic light, if no one else. It is our nature to accept authority. The only question is what authority we're going to accept. And here it mentions that Krishna is God. This may not be very exciting to most people. People don't rush up to the devotees on the street and say, I heard you have a book and tells us who God is. Just like in a prison with all the criminals, they're not very excited who the governor is. Every time they see the picture of the governor, they get a little sick. They think, this is the person who ultimately put me in jail. They don't appreciate him for his whatever exalted qualities he has that made him the governor. Similarly, those who are criminals in the material world who come here out of rebelliousness, the last person they want to find out about is God. If we go up to people on the street and say, my dear sir, here's the book about God, people are not going to be very interested. Just like if you're robbing a bank, the last person you want to meet when you leave the bank is a policeman. He may be your good friend, but if you meet the policeman and the policeman says, hey John, where are you coming from? I was just in the bank, I was making a slight withdrawal. Really? I didn't know you had any money in the bank. Well, you know, the cashier found some money when I asked him. The last person you want to find is the policeman, even if he's your friend. Similarly, the last person the conditioned soul is interested in is the authority, the supreme authority, Krishna. And even someone says that Krishna is God, they say, I don't believe you either. Atmana manite jagat. Because, especially in Kali Yuga, where everyone is a cheater, they say whatever crazy things comes to their mind. They think that everyone else is an equal cheater as they are. But the authorities cited here are persons like Arjuna, Vyasadeva, Narada Muni. These personalities are described as persons who have no material attachment. And since they have no material attachment, therefore there's no need for them to cheat. There's nothing for them to gain. A person, he cheats because he's afraid of losing something or he wants to gain something. But for someone who has nothing to gain or lose in the material world, there's no need to cheat anyone. They can say things as they are. So these are sadhus, and param brahma param dharma pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shasitam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum ahustvam rishyad sarve deva shir narada tata asito devalao vyasa swayam chaiva bravishime. So Arjuna excites Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Kijai Alita Vishaka Kijai. Cites different authorities like Devala, Asita, Vyas, Narada Muni as authority. Of course, we may not accept them as an authority because we may not know anything about them. So why should we accept just because they said that Krishna is God? Why should we accept them? Well, people won't accept them unless they study Narada Muni and the disciple succession coming from them. Unless one examines their character up to the present disciple succession, one won't accept anyone as God or anyone who's saying that they're an authority. They won't accept. And we can see most people don't accept Devala, Asita, Vyasa, Narada, their authority. But if one reads their literature, just like Vyasadeva's literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, and see how it's practically the truth, then one will accept as an authority, and if he points out that Krishna is God, then one will accept. Well, if he says he's God, he must be God. And therefore Prabhupada's giving, or Devaki here, she's praying how Krishna is the source of everything. This is our goal, is to find Krishna, but Krishna is everywhere. It is not that one has to look that far to find Krishna, but Krishna is in everyone's heart, and he's expanded himself everywhere as his energy. If one wants to find God, there's no problem. The only problem is that people don't want to find God. That's the problem. But as soon as one wants to find God, then Krishna says, Rasaham Absnut Kondeya. You can experience me because I'm the taste in the water. That by my kindness, I have supplied water. If Krishna only created thirst and no water, then we would be in great difficulty. But Krishna has kindly supplied water to quench our thirst. Similarly, if there was no sun, then no matter how many flashlights we'd have, it wouldn't do us very much good. Matter of fact, without the sun, we couldn't have a flashlight. So Krishna not only has created our eyes, but he's created the sun. And he's created a demigod who's able to oversee the activities of the sun. So the sun gets up every morning. It's not that one day the sun had a bad day and it slept in and it didn't get up. And therefore there was no sun that day. But Krishna has created a demigod of the sun who makes sure the sun gets up every morning. Yasyagaya brahmati samrita kala chakra. That the demigod, he moves the sun exactly in its orbit, and therefore we're not in difficulty. Otherwise, we'd be in great difficulty. The sun didn't get up in the morning, it wouldn't matter how many blankets we have, we'd freeze. So Krishna, one can meet Krishna by seeing how kindly he's arranged the material world to not only satisfy our desires, but also he supplies Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the Hare Krishna movement, for those who want to get out of the material world by finding out about the transcendental destination. So Krishna has not only given us a chance to enjoy the material world by different arrangements, but he's also given us the means to get out of the material world by the transcendental process of bhakti yoga, or to gradually develop one's consciousness through different processes of yoga. In this way, one can appreciate Krishna in so many different ways, as Devaki is appreciating how Krishna is expanded everywhere, and that this material world is not Jagannitya, Brahma Satya Jagannitya, Nitya. That Brahman is Satya, is truth, and this world is Nitya, or unreal. This is an insult. Krishna, he's created this material world, and the Mayavadis are saying it's unreal. It doesn't matter what you do here, it's ultimately everything is unreal. Just like a prisoner, he may claim the prison's unreal, or the authority of the government is unreal, that he's free to do whatever he wants, he's not going to listen to anyone. But the fact is, he's in the prison. Since he's in the prison, and he's forced to stay there, where is there any question of the prison being unreal, or the authority of the government being unreal? So the fact that we're presently in these material bodies, having to suffer. If we eat a little bit too much one day, then we suffer for 3 days. And yet we claim to be independent. One mosquito comes along and kisses us. And for 6 months we're, you know, in the bed screaming. And yet we claim to be independent. That someone comes along, claims he's God, and then he's in the hospital, you know, or in the dentist's office, praying to the dentist, please, my tooth hurts me. Yet he's so-called God. Therefore, we should not accept ourselves as God or some other insignificant person as God. We should understand how great God is, that he's able to create whole universes, at least one universe that we can see. Not one of us can claim, yes, I came here and I created the universe. Sometimes we meet people, they say, yes, I'm actually God. And we say, well, can you create one little sun and put it over the North Pole and help the Eskimos? If you're a god, why don't you do something, you know, to show that you're a god? Create one little sun and warm up the Eskimos during the winter. And then such persons, they usually say, yes, I could do it. They say, well, go ahead and do it. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, what do you feel like doing? Nothing much. In other words, if one is actually God, he has to show some power. And presently, all the persons claiming to be God that we've met, they have no power. But at least Krishna, 5,000 years ago, he spoke Bhagavad Gita, he said he was God. And Bhagavad Gita is logical and consistent, and no one can find any reason to claim that the person who spoke Bhagavad Gita is not God. There must be a God. So if there's God, then why can't he communicate with us? If there's a person who created this material world, he must have had some purpose. Just like if you walk into a building, a factory, then you know it must be producing something. It must have had a purpose. People don't spend their energy creating something because they have nothing better to do than just to create things. No, there's always a purpose behind the creation. So then, if the person is reasonable, logical, intelligent, he must have had a purpose behind the material creation. And if he puts other people into the creation, he must tell them what the creation is. Just like someone creates a microphone, and they, along with the microphone comes a book that tells you how to use the microphone. People just don't create microphones and then, you know, throw them out in the street, and people are supposed to figure out what they are. Similarly, the material world is created with a purpose, so there must be someone trying to communicate something to us to tell us what the purpose is. That's Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Now others, for instance, you may, along with a microphone, someone may put in a comic book. So you read the comic book and it doesn't tell you anything about the microphone. So you may be a little deceived. Well, this doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't describe the microphone. But that doesn't mean there wasn't supposed to be a book that describes what the microphone is supposed to do and how to use it. If you finally get the book, it says the microphone looks like this, you turn it on like that, and then it's supposed to amplify sound if you do this. And if you follow the directions and it works, then you know it's a book that actually describes the microphone. Similarly, if one comes in contact with a book such as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and it describes the creation and how to live within it to fulfill its purpose, and if one tries it out, one will see it works. If one claims that it can't work, there can't be any book that describes the creation, there can't be any purpose for the creation, there can't be any person behind the creation, if you ask them why, they say, well, that's what they taught me in school. Well, that's what my mother told me. So my mother becomes God. That she becomes the ultimate authority. Or the teacher in school becomes the ultimate authority. But why is he the ultimate authority? Well, he heard it from his teacher, who heard it from Darwin. And what is Darwin's evidence? Well, he went to South America and he saw some fishes in the ocean, concluded where God comes from. In other words, one has to see from one's own practical experience, pratyak travagamam dharmyam, whether or not Srimad Bhagavatam is real, whether it's practical, whether it's factual, whether it makes sense, and whether the authority of Vyasadeva is better than the authority of my mother or the teacher in school. And if it is, and if Vyasadeva says Krishna is God, then why should I not accept that Krishna is God? What is the reason why I'll deny Krishna is God? Is there a better candidate for godhood? Sai Baba or someone like that. Is he a better candidate for God? Who's the best candidate? So in the absence of a good candidate, then we have to elect Krishna. It's either Krishna or my mind. And since my mind is probably, we can see that my mind is not God, or doesn't always tell me the truth, therefore better to accept Krishna's instructions and see whether or not one can make tangible progress towards realizing one's own identity as well as the person who created the material world. I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. How can you convince them? You're going to break their arm? Either Krishna is God or I'll shoot you. Scientific proof? What's the value of their science? Their science can't prove anything. By their science, what have they proved? Science itself can't prove anything. All it can do is show you what's not true. It can't show you what's true. Proving that science has any value, then we'll prove you that Krishna is God. Science is based upon imperfect senses, cheating, illusion, and mistakes. So all the best science can do is show you what's not true. So how can science prove that Krishna is God? You can use it to demonstrate the fact that you can't prove that Krishna is not God. That's all you can do by proving by science. There's nothing positive about science. You can put forward a theory, and if science can't disprove it, then they have to accept it. The only way you can prove the scientific process to prove Krishna is God is you follow the process of bhakti yoga, and then Krishna reveals himself to you. If he was God, then why should he be forced to reveal himself by the process of investigation by science? That would make science God. But we don't accept science as God. We accept science as the activities of fools. If they're trying to find the absolute truth, then why should the absolute truth have to be forced to surrender himself to this process of science? It's ridiculous. It's not a very good process. So the process of bhakti yoga is the process by which you can, by loving service, and Krishna is pleased, he'll reveal himself. Then you'll understand who God is. Is that right? Do they take a book? And they all know he'll find out who God is. Yeah.
It seems that we can only understand by accepting authority, anything. So depending on which authority you accept, you get a certain result. But what does it make us accept one authority over the other?
Our senses. Well, it depends upon our, you know, what our, if we're, there's two authorities, there's Maya and Krishna. Depends on our previous activities generally. Yesham antikatam papam janana punya karmanam te dvanva mohanir muktva bhajante mam drida vrataha. Those who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, can engage themselves and are free from the duality of delusion, can engage themselves in my service with determination. So those who somehow or another had some good association in their past lives, and they acted piously, they gradually rose up to the platform where they can accept Krishna as God. Depends on our association and our activities. If we don't get into good association, then we'll never accept Krishna as God. Because we accept, generally, according to the association with him, that's the modes of material nature we get. According to the modes of nature we have, that's who what we accept as reality. So one has to come in contact with people who are beyond the modes of nature, and then we can accept, then we can get a different experience. And because there's a different experience, we can accept something superior. Is that right? Therefore, for that reason, we go out and we try and give people transcendental association, the former prophets' books, and the association of devotees who are convinced that Krishna is God. And when people get that opportunity, then they can change their acceptance of authority, see something better. After all, I mean, they accept as authorities some scientists. They spend, in America, they spend $50 billion or something, and they come out with a handful of rocks, just like in the Arizona desert. And people are cheering them. And so how foolish people are. $55 billion, they work, you know, they work for 3 years, each one of them, so that someone can come back and bring a handful of rocks. And you're cheering. Complete waste of time, even if they did go to the moon. And they accept these people as an authority. They claim people are starving here or there. So what are we going to do? We're going to spend $55 billion and bring back a handful of rocks. We can divide them up and everyone can eat moon rocks. And these are our authority. So they're authorities for fools. And if you ask them, you just spent $55 billion to go to the moon, what are you doing for the real problems of life, like old age, disease, and death? Oh, we're working on it. We can't do anything for it, but we're working on it. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.